the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, these NBA conference finals have probably got to be the worst conference finals I've ever watched in my entire life. I mean, not one of these games has been competitive. Whoever wins the game just absolutely dominates and obliterates their opponent. And it's so fucking pathetic so far. But I mean, hey, it is what it is. Hopefully the NBA finals are a lot more exciting than this, because, you know, so far, the NBA playoffs as a whole have been very good. I mean, the majority of the series were good. There were a bunch of good games. But man, the conference finals have been such a letdown so far. So let's go ahead and start off in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics versus the Miami Heat, game four. Boston absolutely dominated the Miami Heat, 102-82. Wasn't even close. And then in game five, Boston absolutely dominated 93-80. And I don't know what's going on with the Miami Heat. They have gone cold from shooting range. I mean, they've just been shooting absolutely terrible. I mean, it's just been some of the worst shooting you will see in the NBA by far. And so, I mean, that's just been the story so far, especially these last two games. But I mean, like I said, none of these games so far have been close. And right now, Boston's dominating the last two, and they can actually close it out tonight. Game six is tonight. And the Celtics, they could close it out and head to the NBA Finals. And so far, just been very uneventful. I mean, Jason Tatum, he's had a great series so far. Jaylen Brown also has had a great series so far. So, I mean, overall, it's not like the basketball on the court's been awful. It's just whoever loses, it's like they forget that there's a game that night or something. Moving on over to the Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks versus the Golden State Warriors. In game four, Dallas actually did end up getting the win, 119-109. They had to win that game or else it was going to be a sweep. Game five, they did not show up. Golden State absolutely dominated last night's game, 120-110. And it was just weird because out of every game that Luka Doncic has played in this series, in this entire playoffs, he's been great, except for last night. Like, he looked like he was not interested in being there. And maybe, you know, just because it's the feeling he was getting is just that they were going to lose anyways. So who knows? But he had a great playoffs overall. But last night was a very disappointing game from him. And he definitely needs to work on the defense. That's for sure. Even he knows that. But, you know, Golden State, you got to give it up to them. They have dominated these playoffs. As a matter of fact, I mean, they had a great regular season. They were basically in the top three in the Western Conference all season long. They did have to battle through a little bit of the injuries. But then since the playoffs began, man, they've been on fire. Steph Curry's been playing great. Klay Thompson, he just continues to get better. I mean, he dominated the last couple of games for the Warriors. And then Draymond Green, he's just back at it. And then you've just got all their young guys stepping it up. And the Golden State Warriors, they're just looking like they're ready to win another championship. They ended up getting the series win 4-1 against the Mavericks. Steph Curry ended up getting the inaugural Western Conference and Western Conference Finals MVP, known as the Magic Johnson Award. Steph Curry was the winner. Can't argue that. He had a spectacular series. He's had a great playoff run as well. And the Golden State Warriors are moving on to their sixth NBA Finals in the last eight seasons. They've won three, so they will be going for their fourth championship. And, man, they've obviously been the most dominating team in the NBA for the last eight seasons. You know, they did fall off the last couple of seasons, but I mean, that was just due to injuries. But now that they're healthy and getting it going, this is a team that is going to be difficult to beat for whoever faces them in the Eastern Conference, whether it be the Celtics or the Heat. I guess we'll be talking NBA Finals on Monday's episode because, the Celtics could close it out tonight, but if they don't close it out tonight, then it'll be Sunday is when Game 7 will be played. So we'll definitely know who's going to be going up against the Golden State Warriors. But I feel sorry for whoever is going to be facing them because the Warriors are primed and ready. They're going to be getting some rest. And look out for those Warriors. All right, and let's catch up on the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. We do know who a couple teams have moved on. In the West, the Edmonton Oilers have moved on to the conference finals, and they just absolutely dominated Calgary in their last round of the playoffs. And so we'll see who they're going to face off against. Currently, in the other matchup out West, Colorado leads St. Louis 3-2 on their series. So we'll see who's going to end up facing the Oilers in the West. And then over in the East, the Lightning, they swept the Florida Panthers, and they easily moved on to the conference finals, and they will be going up against the winner of the Carolina-New York Rangers matchup, and currently Carolina leads the Rangers 3-2 in that series. We'll see what's going on in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs there, but two teams, the Oilers and Lightning, absolutely dominated in the last round. And then we got two matchups where it looks like it could go down to a game seven. So we'll see what happens in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs there. And then in baseball this week, man, it has been offense central. And not just offense, but like home runs out of the park. And I mean, honestly, this whole season, there's been a lot of games where there's been high scoring games and then guys scoring 2-3 home runs a game. So this week in particular, it just was absolutely insane with the home runs. And it's kind of funny, too, because, you know, the last couple of seasons, the hitters have been complaining about the ball and saying that pitchers have been getting the advantage. And then last year they changed the rule where they've really clamped down on the pine tar and making sure that they check every pitcher when he comes out of each inning. And so this year, home runs are just flying out of each and every park this year. So on Monday, Aaron Judge had two home runs in one game. And then on Tuesday, there was this crazy game between the Giants and the Mets in which Jock Peterson had three home runs, eight RBIs, and the final of this game ended up being the Giants would win 13-12. There was a total of 37 hits between both teams. And in the, I believe it was either the seventh or the eighth inning, the Mets just had a 7-run inning where they were down and then they ended up tying the game. And then it went back and forth in the last couple of innings. And then the Giants would actually end up walking it off and getting the win. So that was a crazy, crazy game on Tuesday night. Then on also on Tuesday, Mookie Betts had two home runs in one game. Boston ended up beating the Chicago White Sox 16-3, and they would end up having five home runs in that game. And then that same night as well, Kevin Kiermaier for the Tampa Bay Rays, he would end up having an inside the park home run. So it was just a crazy night on Tuesday night for home runs. Then on Wednesday, there was a day game between the Giants and the Mets. And the Giants would go on to win this game. It was a high-scoring affair, 9-3. But they would end up having four home runs in this game, with Evan Longoria scoring two home runs in that. And he hadn't played a couple games, and he came right up to bat and hit the first His first at bat, he would hit it out of the park, and then I believe it was his second or third, I can't remember, but he was hitting him out of the park that day. And then also on Wednesday, the old-timer Joey Votto for the Cincinnati Reds, he would end up hitting a home run and having a triple, and he would end up being the oldest player in MLB history to record a home run and a triple in the same game. So so that's how Wednesday ended up. And then going into Thursday, last night, a whole bunch of more home runs were hit where the Reds, who are the worst team in the league this year, I don't know what the hell's going on with them, but last night they ended up scoring 20 runs against the Chicago Cubs. And with 20 of those runs, 5 of them were home runs. So, yeah, that was absolutely insane. Then the Boston Red Sox, they would score 16 runs, and they also had 5 home runs in that game. But also the big story of the Boston Red Sox the last couple of weeks would be Trevor Story, their big offseason free agency pickup. He has had 21 RBIs in the last 7 games. I don't know what's going on with him, but, like, he wasn't doing much to begin the season, but all of a sudden this guy has turned it on for the Red Sox. And, you know, not only are they had 2 games this week where they scored 16 runs. Like, the Red Sox are on fucking fire right now. And then the Dodgers scored 14 runs last night. Freddie Freeman, he's had a great season, but he had a great night last night. He had a home run and a triple. So yeah, it's just been a high scoring affair. This week alone, there's been 178 home runs, leading the week in home runs. Boston has 12, the Chicago Cubs have 11, the Los Angeles Dodgers have 11, and then San Francisco Giants have 10. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on with baseball this week especially, but, man, it's been a high-scoring affair, and it's just been crazy to see. And what I just named off of right now, there's even more beyond what I named off of. It was just difficult to freaking keep up with everything that was going on that I couldn't write it all down, but so I could just only highlight a few. But, yeah, it's been a crazy week offensively in baseball. And then speaking of baseball, I did discuss that this week the conference tournaments in college baseball are going on, and I did make my predictions, and right now the motherfucking Texas Longhorns are kicking some ass this week. They kicked the shit out of Oklahoma State, and then yesterday they kicked the crap out of TCU. Yeah, you know, the number one seed in the conference tournament in Big 12 this year. So the Longhorns are kicking ass right now. In their conference tournament in college baseball. And so with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and do my top 5 list this week. It's going to be the top 5 greatest Longhorns in college baseball. Starting off with number 5, Houston Street. He was the Longhorns closer from 2002 to 2004. He has 41 saves, most all time at Texas. His overall career ERA is a 1.31. He was the College World Series MVP in 2002, just because he was a bull, man. He would love to come in. He was never scared, even if it wasn't, because usually when the closer comes in, that means you've got a big lead. Well, or you've at least got the lead. And he was never scared. And not only was he never scared, but he would almost always close a motherfucker out. He was a freshman All-American. He was a first team All-American player his entire career. And he would actually go on to have a stellar MLB career. You know, he just would, he was one of the best closers in the league for probably a good 5 to 7 years in a row. He would be the league leader in closers. He just had a solid career. So not only as a Longhorn was he great, but he was also great when he would go on to Major League Baseball career as well. So number 5 was Houston Street. Number 4 on my top 5 greatest Longhorns in college baseball, Bert Hooton. He was a weekend starting pitcher from 1969 to 1971. His overall record, career record, was a 35-3. That is an impressive-ass record for college baseball, but, I mean, just for baseball in general. His career ERA is a 1.14, which is also a Texas record. He's an All-American every single year of his career. In one game, he struck out 19 batters in one game. Like, that's insane. And then his opponent's batting average is a 158, which is low as hell, which is also a UT record. And then he also had 13 shutouts in his career as well, which is just also insane, especially because, you know, college baseball, they don't play near as many games as they do in the pros. So to have 13 shutouts and a 35-3 record, and then to have a 114 ERA, I mean, and then, hell, like I just said, the opponent's batting average was a 158. That says a lot. That's a dominating pitcher right there. He's also a member of the College Baseball Hall of Fame, and he would also go on to have a Major League Baseball career. All right, and then at number three on my top five greatest Longhorns in college baseball, Brooks Kieschnick. He was a DH. Technically he was a DH, but he would end up playing every single position on the field. He played for the Longhorns from 1991 to 1993. He was just an all-around great baseball player. I mean, when you can play every single position that there is, including pitcher, like he would pitch, he would hit, he played first base, catcher, second base, third base, shortstop, like you name it, that dude played it. He was the National Player of the Year in 1993. Also in 1993, his batting average was .374. While also as a pitcher, his ERA was a .324. Then in that same season, he hit 19 home runs and ended up with getting 16 wins as a pitcher. So, I mean, right there, all around player. Not only was he successful as a hitter, but also successful as a pitcher. Then also his career slugging percentage is a .676, third in RBIs, home runs, and bases, all in Texas history. He also is a member of the College Baseball Hall of Fame. Then at number two on my top five greatest Longhorns in college baseball, Billy Bates. He was a second baseman from 1983 to 1985. He was also the first black player to earn a scholarship in baseball for Texas, so that's big right there. But not only was that, it was just because he was a great baseball player. He was they won a national championship in his freshman season, 1983. He was a freshman All-American. And just had one of the most phenomenal seasons in UT baseball history. His career stats, which are all UT records, he had 20 triples, 100 runs, 86 steals. And also of note, something very random, he ended up, because he was known for being very, very fast. So at one point in his life, he ended up racing a cheetah. And he actually won. Due to technicality, I did not read what happened, but he raced a cheetah and won. The fact that you could even just keep up with a cheetah is pretty crazy, so I don't know what the technicality was, but I found that to be very weird. And he is also a member of the College Baseball Hall of Fame. And then rounding out my top five greatest Longhorns in college baseball, number one, Keith Moreland. He was a outfielder from 1973 to 1975. He led college baseball in batting average every single year that he played. His career batting average was a .388. They won a national championship in 1975. He's a three-time All-American, also a member of the College Baseball Hall of Fame, and he would go on to have a stellar MLB career as well. So my top five greatest Longhorns in college baseball history: number five, Houston Street; number four, Bert Hooten; number three, Brooks Kieschnick; number two, Billy Bates; and number one, Keith Moreland. So some great Longhorns in college baseball history right there. The Longhorns have today off, and then they'll be playing tomorrow, and hopefully they'll be playing for the Big 12 national champion or the Big 12 championship on Sunday. And that would be big because that also gets you an automatic bid into the College Baseball World Series, which is a big deal. And, you know, like I said, man, the Longhorns have really turned it on so far, and they know how to win come postseason. So hook 'em horns. Hopefully they're able to get that Big 12 championship and roll on into the College World Series. But, you know, Tennessee is kicking ass right now in their championship round right now as well. They dominated Vanderbilt yesterday. I believe the score ended up being 10-1. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy if the Longhorns do end up making the national championship and the College World Series. But we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens with the NBA this weekend as well and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Hopefully, man, tonight's game can actually be somewhat decent because, like I said, this has been probably the worst NBA Conference Finals matchups I've seen in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Just there has not been good play, a good close game at all. So hopefully Game 6 tonight can at least be somewhat decent, no matter who wins. Come Monday, we will know who our NBA Finals matchup's going to be. And so obviously I'll be making my predictions, and we'll be breaking down the NBA Finals on Monday. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and hook 'em horns, motherfuckers.